Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, blessed souls, let's get to that brighter day. We're alive because we've been blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You now tune into blogtalkradio.com and we humbly suggest we're the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. And this is Soul Class 590. Today's presentation is Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul Program. Presentation number 33. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we're broadcasting the most existential manner right now at 10:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, April 5th, 2016, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA. Unified Soul Actualization. To hear us live, you can call in at 347-838-8669. That's 347-838-8669. Our focus will be extracting inspirations from Rav Hillel's elucidations upon the Mittler Rebbe's Shari Yichud, the Gate of Unification. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. Excuse me. Tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Chabad Chassidus, the Gate of Unification, the Mittler Rebbe, Rav Hillel of Parch, and Children of Israel collaborating with the Children of Noah to meditate to eliminate the hate, jealousy, and unnecessary competition, which unfortunately is still plaguing this planet Earth, because not enough people understand what life is worth until they access the eternal teachings of the Torah. And in order for us to go on with the show, we're going to have to lower the music for a wonderful song which was written by Rav Yitzhak Hurwitz, who is the Chabad emissary of Temecula, California. And unfortunately, Rav Hurwitz is stricken with ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And I thought it's fitting that since then he can no longer speak now for the interim period. Well, interim period, that's the end of that song. That I would be able to share his voice through his blogging, and I want to extract something that he wrote way back in September 19th of 2014. I believe at this point he no longer could speak, and he was using a smartphone to type out his messages to the world, his teachings to the world. And this relates right now to the idea of relationships. As they become intensely personal, we're talking about the relationship between a man and a wife. Rav Horowitz wrote, sometimes as time is passing our lives to be bland and repetitive, keeping our responsibilities, being a good husband or wife, what is now needed is time to get to know your spouse better. As your appreciation for each other grows, your responsibilities will become more joyous and more meaningful. Regularly set aside time to talk and get to know each other better. This will do wonders for your relationship. And blessed souls, all Rav Horowitz can do right now is just basically lay in bed. He has a breathing machine to help him. He has a, through the blessings of modern technology, a device strapped to his eyelids that he blinks them in a certain way. He can type out messages such as these. He can smile, so he communicates through the communication device, facilitated communication device, and his smile to his wife. Of course, his wife, Hashem, can smile and talk and live an active life, and we certainly wish Rav Yitzchak Horowitz a complete refuah shlema. I also want to dedicate today's program to my father, Rabbi Shlomo Yaakov Shehichya ben Esther Aliyah Shalom. My grandmother passed away 28.5 years ago. My father's mother, as my father now is unfortunately in a nursing home, and he's trying to strengthen himself, hopefully with Hashem's prayers, and we do believe these things can happen. Even at the ripe old hoary age of 84, almost 85, I believe that he can still retain some level of living independence. His mind is still sound, although he's just been through a lot since January of this year. So again, today's program is dedicated to him, and also the strengthening of resolve to strengthen her husband with Hashem's blessings, my mother, Marasi Yiska Techiah Bas Chayasara Elia Shalom, my grandmother Chayasara. Blessed souls, as we go now right into the Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, which will feature, of course, the elucidations of Rav Hillel Meparich. Due to my family responsibilities, including visiting my father for the first time at a nursing home in Ridgewood, New Jersey, this past Sunday, I usually jot down some notes. Here I'm basically, this is more of an impromptu presentation, which I don't have a problem with because, Baruch Hashem, I've merited so far to learn from this Sefer. I'm in my 21st year of learning it, and I've gained a certain type of familiarity with it. I will not say that I've mastered the Sefer, the book, which is called the HaMafteich Shel Toras Chasidus, the key for Toras Chasidus, but it's something that I like to keep on engaging in, whether learning by myself or learning with others and sharing teachings, which I think are pertinent for the human family experience. That's each and every one of us. So, as we now share some teachings from the Lukutei Biorim, the gleanings of elucidations of Hillel Meparich, his elucidations fused together with the teachings of the Mittler Rebbe, his Rebbe, who was a direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon. We remind everyone that the utilization of mashalim, of allegories, proverbs, is something which is considered a very strong tool in gaining inner understanding, to get into a meditative state via the human experience of analytical Torah study called Iyun. So when we consider the allegory of the Mayan, the wellspring, which is alluding to wisdom, and I don't know if you knew this, blessed souls, but I'd like to share with you now, there are 32 general pathways of wisdom. And this is delineated in a wonderful book that was written by Rav Arya Kaplan in Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation in Theory and Practice, the revised edition. Unfortunately, Rav Kaplan passed away, I think, around 30-plus years ago. And when we talk about the wellspring, even before it feeds into the allegorical essential essence of that which proceeds out and forms that body of water we know as a river, that Mayan, that wellspring, is ultimately connected to a level, because wellspring, again, is an allegory for wisdom, Chochmah. And Chochmah is one-third of the paradigm of Seichel, intelligence, intellect. In the hierarchy of the 32 paths of wisdom, which is very interesting, the number 32 equals the numerical value of the Hebrew word lev, heart. So the 32 slash heart paths of wisdom, the highest level is called Seichel Mufla. Now this is a light that was originally conceived by Creator, unknown to any human being. And Rav Kaplan, Olav HaShalom, may rest in peace, taught us that this was, it is considered the first glory. No creature can attain its excellence. But it's been identified, blessed souls, by those who are trained in prophetical consciousness, those who are trained in Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. And Rav Kaplan wants us to know that such a thing which did exist, does exist, and always will exist, this idea of mystical consciousness or unknowable consciousness, which is only unto the Creator. Originally conceived by Creator, the first glory of Creator, as we can understand Creator, as Creator has revealed this attribute into the world. But all of this channels down and drips and drabs to the simple allegory of the wellspring, which leads into a river. But when we're in the context of understanding, there's something more than just plain understanding. There's something called hasaga, comprehension. A little bit more refined in one's understanding. Not just parroting what one understands, just like parroting 1 plus 1 equals 2, blessed souls. Comprehension would be to understand that there is a mathematical pattern which is established when you take two numerical values and you put one to the left of a plus sign and one to the right of a plus sign with an equal sign. And therefore, if 1 plus 1 equals 2, comprehension would teach us that any number with a value understood by humans added to another number which has an understood value to human beings equals a greater value of the values of those two numbers in this allegory. So understanding and then hasaga, havana and then hasaga, then there's a level beyond hasaga called the omek hamusak, the depth of comprehension, which the Mittler Rebbe identified in his first chapter, to the exclusion of any elucidation of Hillel, is also connected to the essence of a Torah concept, of an eternal Torah concept. Now, there is another term for the depth of the comprehension of a concept, and this is called the Shar Nun Debina. So we have three concepts here. We have a gate. Shar means gate. We have the letter Nun. I should say the word Nun, which is referring to the numerical value of 50, because the Hebrew letter, which has a numerical value of 50, is the Nun, corresponding to the English-sounding letter N, and then Dabina. The 50th gate of understanding. Now, what's very interesting, blessed souls, in the very first word of the Shar Yuchud by the Mittler Rebbe, the first word is, in fact, the word Hine. Excuse me. Which connects to, as written in this book, a footnote in Daf Kuftes, page 109. And if we go there, we see that the very first word, hine, which means behold, is also an expression of behold, basically the, any author who uses the word behold, hine, or as it appeared in the Torah, is an expression of revelation. Now, the footnote of one connected to the word hine in the beginning of the Shaar Yuchud by the Mittler Rebbe is telling the people who compiled, the rabbis who compiled this book as mandated by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, Schussi Yogan Lenum, as merits protect us to the coming of our righteous Mashiach, Messiah, that the footnote for this word hine, behold, takes us to a collection of Hasidic discourses known as Maimorim, which were either written and then spoken out or spoken out and then written by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, also known as Rebbe Shalom Dov Ber Schneerson of Lubavitch, who wrote this work in Tafresh Mem Zayin, which was either written in 1887 or 1886. And there it talks about the idea that the Shaar Nun of Bina is something which is accessible to human cognitive oscillating consciousness. However, we have to be careful, blessed souls, because there is a level of the Shaar Nun, or the Shaar Nun, the Shaar Nun, which is not accessible to a human being until a person leaves this world and goes to the next stage of life. In fact, even the mighty prophet Moshe, and there was no greater prophet than Moshe, and one can argue there was no greater teacher of Torah other than Moshe, the Levite prophet who received the Ten Commandments and the rest of the Torah, with all the written and oral traditions, yet there was something that he could not access in his lifetime in terms of pure godly consciousness, which the Mashiach will reveal to not only to Moshe, but to the rest of us. But in the context of this teaching here, blessed souls, the depth of a concept is called the 50th gate of understanding, which I'm going to assume here, and hopefully I'll get clarity on this. This is referring to that accessing that level of understanding which we can get, and we don't have to go to the next level of life to access. Now, in this process of us understanding, wisdom feeds understanding, and a person makes a choice: do they want the superficial understanding, or do they want to get to the level of comprehending that wisdom in a more fully elucidated fashion, or do they wish to get to the depth of that comprehension, of that understanding? All of this is because there's been an elicitation from a concept which we should be a little bit more familiar as we talk about it with each program when the opportunity strikes, according to Hashgacha Pratis, Divine Providence. When there's an elicitation from the Ayin of Chachma, from again that primordial, very malleable, flexible level of perception, of profundity, of wisdom, as it can congeal into a more elucidated form of understanding, comprehension, and elucidation. Just as the example given here by Rev Hillel, we see an example of how something seeming so innocuous can eventually serve as a source of more tangible awareness. The example given here is by Rav Hillel, that there in the underneath the base Kodesh Kedoshim, when the Temple Mount stood and was being fully actualized up into its potential during the first and temple second times, and we should see this speed in our days as well, hopefully under the aegis of Mashiach Tzidkenu, according to Torah standards, not to distorted standards, that there is a wellspring that goes out from underneath the holy, the house of the Holy of Holies, where the Aron HaKodesh, where the Holy Ark would be placed. But the wellspring has very humble beginnings, blessed souls. As Rav Hillel wants to know, that the initial innocuous drops being emitted from the wellspring that is underneath the Holy Temple site, extends outwardly or upwardly like the eyes of a grasshopper. So we can see that this wellspring, though quite innocuous and dispersing out in very tiny amounts, as it's allegorized, likened to the eyes of a locust or a grasshopper, I should say, depending how you want to translate Chagavim, either locust or grasshopper. From that point where this wellspring flows upwardly, and Rav Hillel wants to let us know that this is also referring to the 50th gate of understanding, which goes out from the Holy of Holies, the house of the Holy of Holies, is an expression of Keser, manifesting within the quality of revelation to a tangible entity, reaching its spot as to be considered a yesh. Excuse me. Which will congeal to some sort of understanding and comprehension. Again, hopefully, an even deeper comprehension of the Torah concept. Remember, we're going from, and you'll excuse me if I get a little sloppy, I don't prepare you for the transition from the allegory to the source of the allegory, as we say, from the mashal to nimshal. But again, this is supposed to be a very organic presentation, semi-impromptu, and again, to hopefully stimulate your blessed souls to understand that meditation is not a mantra-filled, emotional form of euphoric feelings, but rather, in the context as we're sharing these teachings, a very cognitive, proactive, intellectual approach, of course, fueled by simple faith that this is what the Creator has provided for us, this system of how to access the knowledge of godliness and internalize it and to have it manifest via our humble efforts to implement it into practical action, even the most mundane of experiences. On the other hand, when we talk about that which is considered to be the level of wisdom, as it relates to this wellspring that is going out from the house of the Holy of Holies, so there's a level of wellspring that doesn't make it out of its source, out of its pristine environment. It remains in a certain state of included still within its source. Yeah, it is decreed from on high which drop will eventually, in the allegory sense, become our understanding and which will still remain aloof to us unless we try to dig a little deeper within ourselves, blessed souls. As we have a verse in the Tanakh, I think it might even be in Psalms, where it's written, Ki imcha makor chaim, because with you is the source of life. Let me just look up that verse for further elucidation for you, blessed souls. That's from Psalms 36, verse 10. Ki imcha makor chaim, because with you there is the source of life. So from the source of life there can emanate these allegorical drops of wisdom that congeal ultimately into forms of understanding. And if we pursue that understanding, we can develop a comprehension of those innocuous drops of wisdom which come from that allegorical wellspring of right brain consciousness. And then there's a level that doesn't go out, and it's still nullified and secondary to its source. So again, as much as a percentage of the wellspring is going out of its source, there's a certain percentage of the wellspring that still remains retained in its source. Alluding to, as much as wisdom can come out to our left brain thinking in the oscillating consciousness paradigm, which is a constant one, whether we're conscious of it or not, according to the teachings of the inner dimensions of Torah, there's a level that goes back and forth, and there's an aspect of the wisdom, the wellspring, which doesn't make it out of its own environment and stays included in its source. But that level called the Sharnun, the 50th gate, which came out of those wellsprings of wisdom, which originally called like the eyeballs of locusts or grasshoppers, the 50th gate has been allegorized by Rav Hillel for our perusal as part of the human soul community more than 180 years since he originally penned out these notes. So the gate of wisdom, the 50th gate, excuse me, now is assuming a dimension again of the something related to the creature called Chagav, which is either a locust or a grasshopper, but now it's antennas, which obviously are also connected to the sensitivities of which movements the grasshopper or the locust will make. Of course, it can see a certain distance with its eyes. Obviously, it can sense something even more beyond its eyesight by the sensitivity range connected to its antennas, which extend much further outwardly from its body than the eyes are generally speaking, connected directly or sunk within the face of the creature. But the antennas extend outwardly and can sense other things. So the 50th gate is considered to be that level of the reception of the wisdom, having it being transformed or morphed into the Ayin Shel Yesh, that tangible, flexible level of right brain perception of profundity, to now it can be grasped and elucidated upon. Now, nevertheless, it's important to note that when there is an elicitation from the Ayin of Chokhmah to the Yesh of Bina, again, that flexible state of right brain perception of profundity or profundity gets fed into the tangibility of understanding and again comprehension, then the Omak HaMusag, the depth of the comprehension. The root of this transfer still is we have a point we can identify as coming from the depth of wisdom. And that's where we're going to stop, blessed souls. There's so much more to go, but I might have been much more slower in my presentation today. I did not cover that much material with you, but I think what I did cover with you will hopefully be, at some level, an eye-opener. And hopefully this is arousing within you your desire and your delight to learn more about this. And if it is, then it is arousing that level of Keser within yourself, that crown of your consciousness, which has a depth to it, an inner depth and an outer depth. And it's up to you if you want to continue. But this is the type of, I would promote, this is the type of richness which can be accessed. And it has to be done in a very slow, methodical process, known as Hizbonanus. And for now, we're going to take flight, blessed souls, and hopefully tomorrow we'll reunite with author Alan W. Cecil, author of Secular by Design, Philosophy and Observances of the Seven Noahide Commandments, and hopefully also be joined by Rambam teacher and student and advocate for the dissemination of the teachings of Rambam, the Great Eagle, Nesher Gadol, Dennis Ryan. We need to take flight right now, bless us, and we're going to take flight right now, hopefully in a manner of Ahabachad, one love, Gorlachad, one destiny, Kulan for all of us. Badarchin Om Darki Shalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way. Laham Sheikh Bezashem Yisbreak, to be with the help of the Most High. That being said, blessed, I want to remind you, even though I know it's going to cause some anxiety and agita, and maybe some ambivalence, but ambivalence is not just a bad thing. If you can actualize the opportunity which is presented to you through your feelings of ambivalence, you've got to be good. Because the Tevah Tevah Lehaiti, it's the nature of the good to do good. And the Creator is the source of all goodness. In Creator's ultimate goodness, put you here on this blessed earth to help you internalize and to share with others what's truly worth. And the great endeavor is to make this place a Derech B'Tachtonim for the Creator, a dwelling place for the indwelling of Shekhinah, a fitting preparation as much as we can with all the blessings, each one of us according to our portion, to prepare the world for the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, Mashiach, who will roar out Torah Chadasha, who reveal a dimension of Torah that has never been revealed, even to the likes of the prophets of old and the prophets of the Middle Ages and the Bali Ruach HaKodesh and the Mekublim and the masters of Kabbalah and even to the Hasidic masters. But let's take flight of where we were to realize there's a place where we can take flight to where we have to be and eventually be. We blessed to be. And to empower us in that to empower us in this process, we have the Torah to guide us. Take care, everyone. Thank you.